From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Tristan Ozbe, Hungarian State Secretary for the Aid of Persecuted Christians and the Hungary Helps Program. Let's now join Hank and Secretary Ozbe in their conversation.
The fact that Hungarians still exist as a nation, we owe it against all odds. We still exist. We owe this to preserving our identity, our Christian identity. Truly, the identity is the core of the self, and the core of the self as a person, individual person, and also as a community. This is where we derive our strength, our will to survive. So this is why it is important. This is why we allow this type of radical new secularization, extreme secularization, to deny our cultural roots and heritage. We will lose ourselves. Also, if we let the Christians of the East, the Middle Eastern Christians, to disappear from the Middle East due to the persecution, then we will not only lose like an interesting and exotic cultural element of the Middle East, we will lose the root of our own identity. And I guarantee you that if there will be no Christians left in the Middle East, the European, the Western Christian identity will cease to exist because we will lose our historical roots. And then we will be a prey of more aggressive ideologies, one of them being extremist liberalism, the other one being extremist Islam.
I think what you're saying about the root is so transcendently important. I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit. So you're working in Iraq, for example, restoring that which has been lost as a result of the persecution of Christians there. And you've talked about the fact that there were at one time maybe something around the figure of 1.5 million Christians in Iraq, and now that number has diminished to somewhere around 200,000. So if you lose this identity, you're saying this affects Christianity as a whole, because if you lose the root, it has an effect on the flowering of Christianity, not only in Western civilization, but around the world.
Absolutely. And we have to overcome an ignorance in the West, because I'll give you one example. I've been talking to a relatively high-ranking diplomat of a Western country. I'm not going to name the country because my goal is not to start a diplomatic scandal. I just want to explain my point. And I told about the suffering and the plight of Middle Eastern Christians to this high-ranking Western diplomat. And the answer was very ignorant and very, to the level of an atrocity to hear such a thing. The answer was that, okay, if Christians are persecuted in the Middle East so much, why did they go there? So I hope you understand the ignorance in that. There is this absolutely false sense that Middle Eastern Christians are a product of modern-day evangelization, that they are, in fact, a product of, I don't know, Western colonial or imperialistic influence or, cultural colonization. And this is dangerous because it means that the average Western people or even the high-ranking Western leader has no knowledge of the very root of our civilization and identity. And this can cause the end of Western Christianity and civilization if we don't come to our senses. Now, talking about Iraqi Christians, the numbers you cited were right, and these are very dramatic numbers. In 2004, the number of Christians in Iraq were indeed 1.5 million. And by that time, indeed, their number is less than 300,000. So it shrunk to one-fifth of its original size in the course of 16 years. And we are talking about Iraqi Christians who had been there for 2,000 years. So they have survived millennia, and now it is upon us that during the time of our generation, they will completely disappear. Because if they have lost 80% of their community, of the people, in the course of a little bit more than a decade, you don't have to be a mathematician or, you know, a sorcerer or a politician who wants to make dramatic statements to see that in the course of a few more years, Christianity will completely disappear from Iraq, just as it happened with the historical Jewry of Iraq. From, you know, the time of the Old Testament, Jewish communities had been living in Iraq for centuries, and yet in present day, there is one anecdotal Orthodox Jewish man in Baghdad, according to the anecdote. And the same thing will happen to Christianity unless the rest of the world, the big powers, finally recognize that we face a human rights crisis, a human rights tragedy of historical proportions here. And I would like to see the United Nations, the Human Rights Council, the European Union, and all the big human rights organizations to at least recognize that such a thing as Christian persecution exists. Because where we are now, they are not, wouldn't allow the whole expression term Christian persecution to be used. They are not even putting it on their agenda. Everybody else is more important for them. The persecuted Rohingya, who deserve all the attention, who have suffered genocide, who deserve to be talked about. But yet, how come nobody talks about the 300 million persecuted Christians, not even by recognizing their suffering? So that needs to be changed. And this is something that we are very vocal about in the international arena, diplomatic scenes, but it's a difficult task because, you know, I was once in Washington, D.C. at a religious freedom conference, and I talked about the freedom of religion and belief of Christian people, how it is being taken away and abused in more than 80 countries in the world. And just because of that, I have been labeled on the social media as a Christian supremacist and also a racist, just because of talking about the suffering of more than 300 million people. So this is a very difficult task to change the narrative and at least, you know, introduce Christian persecution in the language of these organizations.
It's kind of interesting as you're speaking, I couldn't help but think about the fact that in our country, there are so many evangelicals who are not worried about the persecution of Christians in the Middle East and the Levant, because they don't think that these are really Christians to begin with, that these are people that serve sort of a dead orthodoxy, they're liturgical, and they have little sense of history as even Christians. So it's not just the secular world that doesn't have an understanding of the roots of Christianity, but evangelical Christians that don't understand when the church was young, do not understand our Christian heritage, and therefore aren't that concerned about what's happening to Orthodox Christians who are suffering in countries like Iraq.
Well, I can also give you another example, because our mission, and then personally my work, I have received so much support from American evangelicals. So I'm sure that's only a minority who is looking at the Middle Eastern Christians that way. And it is important to address the denominational factor of our work. Personally, I'm a Roman Catholic with Armenian Catholic heritage. The Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban, he is a Protestant, and we are working together with Orthodox Christian churches and many other denominations in the Middle East and in Africa, and working together with evangelical charities. So the whole approach of our program is ecumenical. And there, as a, you know, a faithful Catholic personally, I am with a stronger identity. I'm aware that historically speaking, there has been many debate, even violent conflicts between the different Christian churches and denominations. And, you know, I'm a quite a stubborn Catholic, so I never shied away from some theological debates back in the time. But then I visited the Middle East, and then I visited Africa. the places where Christians are being murdered. And you know, I have found a very important conclusion from these visits. When a jihadist murderer comes, he doesn't care if a person is Orthodox Christian or Catholic Christian or historical Protestant Christian or evangelical Christian. He will murder the person just because he or she is associating him or herself with Christianity and worships Christ as God. So in the eyes of the murderers, we are all the same and we are all Christians. So that is a wake-up call to the Christians of the world.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Secretary Tristan Osbay. For years, emigres from the former Soviet bloc have been telling Rod Dreher they see telltale signs of soft totalitarianism cropping up in America. Identity politics are intruding into every aspect of life. Progressives marginalize conservative, traditional Christians, and other dissenters. Technology and consumerism hasten the possibility of a corporate surveillance state. And the pandemic, having put millions out of work, leaves our country especially vulnerable to demagogic manipulation. In Live Not by Lies, Rod Dreher draws on the wisdom of Christian survivors of Soviet persecution to prepare American Christians for the dangerous days ahead. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
For years, emigres from the former Soviet Union have seen telltale signs of soft totalitarianism cropping up in America. Identity politics intrude into every aspect of life. Progressives marginalize conservative Christians. Technology and consumerism create the possibility of a corporate surveillance state. And the pandemic has made our country vulnerable to demagogic manipulation. Alexander Solzhenitsyn famously said that one of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming totalitarianism can't happen in their country. Many American Christians are making that mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents by Rod Dreher, will help equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit the Christian Research Institute online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Secretary Tristan Osbay as they continue their conversation.
When a jihadist murderer comes, he doesn't care if a person is Orthodox Christian or Catholic Christian or historical Protestant Christian or evangelical Christian. He will murder the person just because he or she is associating him or herself with Christianity and worships Christ as God. So in the eyes of the murderers, we are all the same and we are all Christians. So that is a wake-up call to the Christians of the world. This is not the time to stress on our theological differences. We have suffering, a brotherhood, all Christians in the world, a brotherhood, an economical brotherhood of the blood of martyrdom. So it is our duty to not fuel conflicts between the different Christian denominations, but to come together and protect those who are being murdered in the name because of their association with Christianity.
It has been well said that if Christians do not hang together, we're going to hang separately. And I think the persecution of Christians worldwide and the massive scope, 250 million Christians are being persecuted, the mass scope of it really leads us to what the Lord said in John chapter 17 when he prayed the Lord's high priestly prayer. And he prayed that we might be one, just as he is in the Father and the Father is in him, so that we might be one, so the world might believe that you sent me. So there is a necessity for unity. Of course, that unity around the essentials of the historic Christian faith. You can't throw away the nut and just keep the shell. We have to be galvanized around the essentials of the Christian faith. But it is important for us to be unified today as Christians. And I am so happy to hear that that is one of your core commitments, that you are committed to the unity of the faith so that we as a unified Christian church can make a difference in the 21st century, just as we are commissioned to do.
Yes, it is true. I have to add that we are following the Christian social values in our policies, and that is reflected in the Hungary Helps program, in our humanitarian program. Nevertheless, we observe the so-called healthy secularism. So as a government official, don't have any ambition regarding, you know, religious initiatives. But I hope that the actual humanitarian policy and our program will contribute to this sense of all Christians belonging together and addressing together this threat that is on Christianity and Christian people together as a unity, yes.
I was reading somewhere that in just over 3 years, you've had somewhere in the vicinity of 100,000 beneficiaries. Can you expand on that?
Yes, this is the number. Humanitarian programs have a methodology to calculate the number of direct beneficiaries. And the number of direct beneficiaries of our program has exceeded 100,000 last November, meaning that in some sense, more than 100,000 people benefited, for example, financially or from being provided social services or education or other support through our program. That's the number of direct beneficiaries. The indirect beneficiaries, so who has in any sense experienced the beneficial effect of our program, should be larger. Our program started in the very beginning of 2017. At first, we focused in the Middle East because that was just after the aftermath of the genocide committed by Daesh. So our first target countries and Christian communities for our support were Iraq and Syria. We also started many humanitarian aid programs for the Christian refugees who had fled from Iraq and Syria to the neighboring countries such as Jordan and Lebanon. And that was important because the big international aid programs for refugees discriminated against the Christian refugees. So after having lost their homes and everything in their lives, they could only count on the assistance of the local churches. And we came to the help of the local churches so that we together provide healthcare and housing and education and other support to these refugees and so-called IDPs, internally displaced peoples. Meanwhile, we have supported with, comparably to the Hungarian budget, quite with some funding, the reconstruction of Christian institutions and settlements and towns in Iraq, in Syria. We have reconstructed hospitals, family homes, schools, and something that other Western governments will not do. We also supported the reconstruction of churches and church infrastructure. Some other Western governments will not do that because it's not politically correct for them to support the reconstruction of churches. I have one fine example of what can be achieved this way. And this example leads to northern Iraq, to the Nineveh Plains. Nineveh Plains is, of course, a biblical region, where there is a small town called Tel Askuf. It's near Mosul. Tel Askuf has been inhabited by Chaldean Christians for millennia, but it had been occupied and ravaged by Daesh or ISIS in 2014. It was completely occupied, so everyone had to flee, all the Christian families. Who couldn't flee was murdered on the site. The extremists, the terrorists there, first destroyed the cemetery to erase Christianity from the history of the place, and then they used the church as the target practice target. And after that, it was liberated in 2016, but by that time, more than 900 buildings were damaged and it was completely deserted. And then with one of our first donations, we donated $2 million for the rehabilitation of this town called Tel Askuf directly to the Chaldean church in Iraq. And this is important because this is also something Western governments will not do in their international aid. They not will donate directly to faith-based organizations on the site or to church institutions. Instead, they provide donation to the big international agencies and multilateral programs. And usually you will not see a cent of the donation to arrive to the minority vulnerable group, to the Christians. But we have worked together with the local church, which is the most trustworthy and efficient way to provide donation. And together we have reconstructed this town, Tel Askuf. And as a result, 1,000 families out of the 1,300 families that had fled have returned. So three quarter, we almost managed to save the whole community, which is remarkable if you compare it with the statistical pair of numbers I just previously quoted, that meanwhile, when we look at all of Iraq's Christianity, it shrunk to 1/5 of its original size. Yet with a direct donation to the church, one community could be almost completely saved. And you know what is very touching? The priest of this town has visited Hungary and explained to the Hungarians that the people of this town have renamed their town from Tel Askuf to Tel Askuf Bint El Magyar, which means Tel Askuf, daughter of Hungary. And this is something very reassuring. This shows hope that all what we do is not in vain. And I'm not saying this necessarily because I want to create a positive image here for Hungary. I want to set this as an example, because what I would like to see is, next to the town that is now called daughter of Hungary, I would like to see a son of the United States, or nephew of Germany, or the grandchildren of the United Nations. So this is something that we could have achieved in the last couple of years, and this is something that we offer for other governments and organizations to follow. But I also have to quote that we started our mission mainly in the Middle East, but in the last couple of years, the genocidal level of Christian persecution has been growing in the sub-Saharan Africa. So only in Nigeria, every year, thousands of Christians are murdered by Boko Haram and Fulani jihadists every year. So now the world has to turn its attention to our suffering Christian brothers and sisters in Africa. This is where we are shifting our focus now.
I think the podcast was validated by just that one example that is a powerful example of not merely cursing darkness or cursing the Christian persecution, but building a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And I think Hungary is such a great example. You've mentioned a number of times that it is a small country, 10 million people or so. But what your agency has done has caused Hungary itself to grow stronger. And that has permitted your magnificent country to play a more significant role in humanitarian support. And I want you to elaborate on that, because what you're doing is ennobling, enriching, empowering your own country, and therefore it can be an ever more significant force around the world.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Tristan Özbay, Hungarian State Secretary for the Aid of Persecuted Christians and the Hungry Helps Program. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents by Rod Dreher. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.